Hi everyone, how are you today? Welcome back to Speak Your Mind Podcast. Our topic today is special. It's about living in balance and fulfillment. So we also have a special guest. She is Ruby Rose. She is transformational coach and neuroscience enthusiast. Hi Ruby, how are you today?
I'm good, thank you. How are you? Apa kabar?
Baik. Thank you very much for your time, Ruby.
No problem. Thank you for having me. I'm very excited to be here.
Yeah, I'm very excited. We will talk about living in balance and fulfillment. So before we start, can you introduce yourself about your experience, your job, your role, your niche in Bahasa or in English?
I'll say a little bit in Bahasa and English, probably in English because sudah nggak lancar ya, udah lama tidak.
Okay.
So my name is Ruby Rose. I'm a transformational coach. I'm based in London, but I work with people internationally to help them live a life of balance and fulfillment that they deserve. So I'm working mainly with leaders and business owners. That's my niche, but I do help people from all walks of life. My background, so this is a very special call for me because actually I grew up in Bali, in Indonesia, and in India. Yeah. So I'm really happy to have this connection with you, Ari, and to be on this call. So yeah, this is fantastic.
Yeah, this is good. So we get into the topic, living in balance and fulfillment. What does it mean to live a balanced life, in your opinion?
So yeah, in my opinion, living a balanced life means to take into consideration all aspects of life and focus on what is important to you and then prioritize accordingly. So to be balanced doesn't mean to cram all our attention into everything, but what it means is to figure out what fulfills us, what energizes us, what brings us joy, and to prioritize that, and then take all the other aspects of our lives and put it in to make sure that it's in a way that what is important and in line with our values is prioritized in a way that serves us and the people around us that we care about.
Yeah, it's about find something that make us happy and prioritize it.
Yeah, the thing that there's always something that sort of like, you know, your purpose or something that fulfills you and brings you joy. And when you find that, it's important to give it the space and give it the energy that it needs and then balance your life around that.
Balance inside and outside, physically and mentally should be...
Exactly, exactly. Mentally, physically, socially, spiritually, emotionally, all of these things need to be balanced. And that's an inside job. So it all starts with the inside. So focusing on yourself and nourishing yourself. And then you can start to work on the things around you. And everything starts to fall into place that way as well.
And next question, how can we live a life of balance and fulfillment?
Very interesting.
Step by step. Yeah.
Step by step, yeah. Okay, I'm back.
It's okay?
Yeah, it's good.
Thank you. It's okay.
So it's, this is, I think, sort of a lifetime journey as well. The most important thing is to figure out what makes us feel fulfilled and what makes us feel nourished. So it's in my experience, it's an inside job. So it's about finding out what drives you and what energizes you. So whether that be serving other people, human beings are all hardwired to serve others, whether it is to work with animals, whatever it may be, find something that serves you, that really makes you feel in line with who you truly are. So finding out what fulfills us, what energizes us, and then living that out and prioritizing that within our life and moving forward. So everything throughout our lives, we learn every day. We come up with new opportunities. How can we then use that to serve our greater purpose and what we want to do within our life and what makes us feel fulfilled? When we figure out how to live fulfilled, like what fulfills us, then it's quite easy to find the balance in our lives as well.
Yeah, sometimes people feel fulfillment if they have successful career, successful family, have lots of money in bank account like that. So every people have a different types of fulfillment for themselves.
Everybody has a different type of fulfillment. With things like career and money, it normally comes down to, it can make you feel fulfilled and happy, but not always. And that's because it comes down to what your values are. So if your values are being with family, and then people who come, and then you have the money to be able to then live that out, then of course that's going to make you happier. Or for example, freedom is a value for you, then you're able to travel and things like that. So it's about the greater purpose of what that serves, not the financial, it's finances itself. It's normally connected to something greater. Then we can be with our families and we can live out our purpose too.
Okay. And how do we find our purpose in life? Sometimes society, yeah, society dictate us, as especially for women, you have to do this and that. And if you not, you will misfit in society. Society will judge. So how we find our purpose?
Yeah, it's a good question. And I talk about this a lot because I have a lot of conversations around culture too. So like you're saying with society, I'll go into that a little bit deeper, but to find our purpose, Simon Sinek, I'm not sure if you know him or people.
Yeah, I know Simon Sinek. I know.
So he has a very famous thing that he says, which is start with why. So start with your why. So why are you doing what you do? What is your, and that the why is the depth of your purpose. So a lot of the time through coaching, what we do is we go through the different layers of why. So it's normally very deep what your purpose is. So I can say, why are you doing this? For example, why are you doing this podcast? You might say to inspire people, or to share messages, or whatever it may be. But if we say, okay, why is that important to you? And we go deeper and deeper till we really touch on what it is in your heart that connects you to what you're doing. That is in line with your purpose. So it's about delving deeper into what it is. A lot of it is a life journey, but working with someone can help you do it, whether it's a coach or spending time on your own, sort of doing journaling and figuring out why, what it is that drives you in line with who you are and what your values are.
Every people have a different purpose in life, and every people have a choice. I have some friends, maybe they don't want married, or they don't want have a kids. So, but society judges them. Whoa, she's so selfish. She's so just think about herself. She doesn't want kid. And yeah, society will judge her. It's not normal. This is not not like as functional member of society. She cannot do that. But deep in her heart, they don't want, because maybe they don't want much responsibility, or she worry about the future of their kids, because the world now is not really friendly place to live. It's all full of struggling everywhere we live.
It's true. And a lot of the time I talk about as well, like we have, for example, talking about happiness and how we can, you know, we need to take care of ourselves is one of the things that we talked about. And I did a room the other day and we were talking about, but what about culturally? You know, we have the cultural norms that come in and our responsibilities. So yes, when it comes to that society and what society wants from us, and cultures and whatever, you know, that way, it's very difficult to fully be true. It becomes more difficult to find our purpose, because our vision and our view of what we want is often very cluttered with what other people want us to think and believe as well. So, but what society wants doesn't change what our purpose is. Our purpose is becomes more difficult to live it and to sometimes to find it as well. But so long as we don't live in line with our purpose, they'll always feel like there's something missing if we're not true to who we are too.
It is always challenge in life, in society. Yeah. So next question, how do we avoid allowing external factor to get in the way of our balance?
That's exactly the question. Actually, it goes in line with the question you were just asking in the end. Yes. This is the difficult thing, especially with what we're going through in the world right now as well. We really need to nourish ourselves and who we are. And there's different ways to do that. So it's hard to stop anything from the external world, and we don't have control over that. But what we do have control over is how we let it make us feel. People can say what they want to do, but it's up to us to choose to let that in or not. A lot of that comes down to doing self-work. So understanding how the mind works, so understanding neuroplasticity, understanding neurolinguistic programming, NLP, and how we can then rewire our brain for certain things, and how we allow things to upset our inner world. Meditation is a big thing for people, you know, if we spend time every day on ourselves and with ourselves, then we can reduce the noise of the external clutter as well. So I would say do things that bring you joy and that energize you, and where you're spending time figuring out what's important to you, but regularly, not, when you're feeling really bad, which is what we do most times as humans. We wait until we feel really bad and then we look for something to make us feel better. But it needs to be a regular practice, and it needs to be within our routine to spend time with ourselves and reconnect with ourselves and who we are.
So the decision in your life, like study in uni and then your career choice, is that full 100% your choice, or maybe your parents give you advice of this is good choice, this is or what? Your 100%
Yeah, no, it's
or
a good point.
society also.
It's a good point. I think that our parents, we have to realize that they have wisdom, especially when we're younger. And really what they're doing it for the greater good of, of who we are when it comes to things like university and education, because a lot of people's purpose is toward helping people have free education for everyone and free healthcare for everyone for the greater good of humanity. And if we're in the position where we can go to university, then why not? We're feeding our brains. So I feel that often comes up when, yeah, people don't want to go to university and their parents want them to, or they want them to study something different than what they actually want to study is often a thing as well. I think it's all a part of the learning journey too. So even if you end up doing, if it's in university, for example, you end up doing something that you don't want, it usually leads to something else, which is something that I did as well. I went and studied biology and I left after a year and a half and went to,
Oh, biology?
yeah. Oh, you did
Yeah,
too,
same with me.
right?
Why you
Yeah.
laugh? You don't like the subject or what?
So I left because I did general biology, and I moved into creative advertising, visual merchandising, because I really like the more human side, the medical side, the brain, understanding the brain. If I had have done genetics and neuroscience and biochemistry, I probably would have stayed. But it was so general, and it was about there was a lot around plants and mollusks and crustaceans and
Animals.
animals, and it just wasn't really what I wanted. But I suppose if I knew then what I knew now, I would select differently. I just didn't know because I was younger, and that's where our parents come in and try to help us, I suppose, as well.
So after you left biology, what subject you choose in the end?
Creative advertising with visual merchandising. So it was more of a creative side, and but I could use my understanding of what makes us think, what makes us tick, what's going to make people want certain things to infuse my work and my creative side as well. So it kind of, for me, there was an overlap with my interest in biology and what I did creatively too.
Yeah, it's interesting because your career path is different, creative, and then you end up with a coaching, transformational coach like that.
And I think that's again the way of finding your purpose. So I did a lot of things that I probably weren't in line with my purpose, but didn't feel so right. And I spent, so after I finished university, I actually worked in IT. I worked in tech for nearly 10 years, in leadership. And leadership is all about people. It's about leading people and guiding people. And my understanding of the mind and how it works and being able to help people meant that I could help them at a level that some people don't know how to do. And that became my passion. And a lot of leadership is coaching, which is what led me to doing coaching, because that's what's important to me. My purpose is to help as many people or change the lives of as many people as I can in this lifetime. So, and for everything that I've been through, either great or challenging, to be channeled into her helping others. So to make it all worth it, So although not everything I did followed my purpose, it all made it possible and all made me be able to live it in a stronger level than I would had I not had those experiences.
Yeah, because some people they finally find their purpose at their age so late, like 50, 60, and then they realize, oh, this is my purpose. This is what I want in life. And yeah, it's better if we know our purpose in life fast. Yeah, it's not in our 50s or 60s. So it's good if younger is good,
I mean, it's
yeah.
fortunate if we can. I think there's no right or wrong. So,
Yeah.
the people who do find it later, if they found it too early, they wouldn't have had the experiences that they have to that point to be able to then serve the way that they want to do as well. So, and we all change. So I don't think there's a right or wrong. It is, I suppose, easier for or more fulfilling when you're younger to not keep having to go up against the same things if you know what your purpose in life is. But I don't think that there, I mean, I feel that there's no right or wrong, because most people, mm-hmm. once they find their purpose, they know that everything that happened happened exactly as it should be to lead them up to that exact point.
Yeah. You talk about self-leadership. How does self-leadership comes into play when trying to achieve balance?
Yeah, good question. So I talk about self-leadership a lot, and I use the example, and it's not mine, but of when you enter an airplane, for example, the first thing that happens in the security, in the safety videos is they tell you if there's any issues with the air pressure to put your own mask on before you help others. The reason I said it in an article recently, that I used to, when I was a child, I used to think, what about me, you know? But the reason we do that is because if we don't take care of ourselves, we don't then have the capacity to help anyone, you know? We can't help anyone around us. So we have to first nourish ourselves. And the same applies for self-leadership. We need to first take care of ourselves before we can help anyone else. And we'll be able to help more people if we're operating at our full potential, if that makes sense. So I talk about when it comes to self-leadership, but in order to thrive, you know, in change, it's really important to have self-awareness. So understand, you know, who you are. And that's where this work comes into it as well. Then self-acceptance. So accepting where you are. So for example, in your example, if you're older and you find your purpose later, you accept that that's the way, you know, if you're really connected with your purpose, you'll be quite happy that you found it at that time. So accepting who you are, accepting when you need to ask for help, all of these things. And then personal growth. So growing as a person. So even if we find out what our purpose is, we still need to grow every day, you know. Knowledge really nourishes the brain too.
So we must take care of ourselves and lead ourselves in order to we can lead other people.
Exactly. Yeah. To be able to really serve them. If you're not well, you can't help other people. And we as society, we give a lot of, you know, if you're sick and you're physically ill, or you're physically limping, for example, then you're allowed to rest. But what about if we're emotionally exhausted or tired, or, you know, we really need some self-care? That needs to be addressed with the same level of care and concern as well.
Okay. So the next question. So sometimes people do something, then they fail, and this is happen over and over again. So how to deal with failure, in your opinion?
So I don't believe that, I think that in life everything, we all have failure. I don't really think that there is such a thing of failure. Failure is just the next step towards success. And struggling, it means struggling, right? So if when we fail, we struggle. But struggling is not failure. Struggling is successfully not giving up, because eventually you will achieve what you're going towards. Failure, it is a difficult one, because a lot of people have a fear of failure, which is why they don't go towards their goals and what they want.
Yes, yeah.
But I don't believe that there is such thing as a true failure. We all fail at something. We've all failed in our life. I don't know anyone who hasn't failed at something. It's about getting back up and taking it as a learning. What are we going to do with that failure to then transform it into a learning experience to better ourselves, and then better, you know, be a better person for other people as well? So it's what are you going to do with that failure to turn it into knowledge and opportunity? It's about the mindset and how we look at it.
Yeah, it's important. Mindset is everything. So you as transformational coach, so you take a people to from point A to point B, transform there. So what's the common problem with people of or common what you handle people?
Yeah, so
transform their life.
Yeah, so normally people come to me for a variety of reasons. And it's about, yes, life transformation, also within work as well. So a lot of people do come because they feel stuck. As a, for example,
oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, they feel stuck, or you know, overwhelmed. They need more balance. Some people do need more balance. They're already aware that they need more balance and fulfillment. And they come because they're not really sure what their purpose is. And they want to live life more in line with balance and fulfillment and to feel more aligned. Other people want more work-life balance. People want to live life with more confidence. Or they're trying to achieve, you know, a certain thing, start a business, but they're still held back in the security of another job, for example, and then they want to really break through to really live their passion and who they are. That's a lot of the kind of things that people do come for.
So in your experience, what makes people stuck in life, like their career in life?
It depends, I suppose, on the particular situation. But feeling stuck is normally because what you're doing and where you are is not in line with who you want to be or with your values or what your purpose is. So a lot of people, for example, feel stuck in a corporate job. You know, they're working really hard every day. But what their value is freedom. So because they want to be free, they feel very stuck in life, even though they're living, doing what they should be doing. They have a good job, they're traveling for work. But why am I still feeling like this? Because it's not in line with who you want to be and what your values are in life. We stay in things for security, and then we don't take the risks that we need in order to achieve what we really want in our lives. So as humans, we don't really like change. Human beings don't really like change. So we're more likely to stay in a routine to avoid the uncertainty of the unknown. So we'll stay in that routine until the routine is so uncomfortable that we're pushed to do something else. And that's normally the time when people feel really stuck.
So usually how long it takes people transform from stuck and then, oh, this is a new me. In your experience,
it completely depends on people, on they are in their life and who they, what their sort of understanding of who they are and what they want. If they don't know what they want, it's a lot harder, not harder, just it can take a little bit more time to figure out what they want before they can break through. But sometimes it's just one simple conversation, you know, it's like an aha moment, we call it. So it's like, oh, what? You know, this, it just takes that. And it's really just sometimes just one insight, one conversation that just changes everything. And other people take a little bit more time as well, which there's no right or wrong too.
Depends of complexity of their problem. More complicated maybe takes more time.
Yeah, and not only complicated, sometimes people are really stuck in their ways. You know, they want to keep things a certain way, or they're used to it. How long have you been in that situation? If I've been in a job for, you know, 10 months, it's much easier to leave than if I've been there for 10 years. So how stuck in our situation are we? You know, what's our personal situation? And our mindset too, again, it's another thing, you know. If our mindset, if we believe that we can get out of a situation, we're more likely to get out of the situation. If we believe there's no way out of it, it's going to be a lot more challenging.
So we must train our mindset, is like again and again.
And that's key. You know, that's key, is training your mind for a more positive and growth mindset. It can be learned. It can be learned. It's not that we're trapped the way that we've always thought. The brain itself, so neuroplasticity, is about how we rewire the brain and how it's malleable and how we can change it. So, and this happens physically in the brain as well. So over time, if we learn how to change the way that we think and how we behave and how we feel, that will become a habit to us more than the negative patterns that we have or things that aren't serving the way we want to live our lives.
Very interesting. So Ruby, what's your plan after this, in the next? Maybe you continue your coaching and neuroscience. What's your plan in the next, in the future, maybe 5 years later, 10 years later?
Yeah, so my plan, I mean, I will continue my coaching for as long as I can think possible. I do one-to-one coaching. I work with companies as well. I also have a passion to help, having grown up, I suppose, in Indonesia and India as well, I do have a passion to help leadership of young women within developing countries as well. So that's a passion project of mine, which I've not really done much of yet. But what I would like to do is personalized coaching to help empower young women in developing countries to be the leaders of tomorrow.
It's like non-profit organization. It's like community or...
I guess for now, it would be just starting with communication and workshops and seeing what's out there and how that...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Then. I'm not sure, but that's a passion of mine, is helping young women in developing countries to have the confidence to want to be able to be who they want to be and to help them understand how this mindset works. So to be able to spread that message would be a really important thing for me.
Yeah, you remember, if you want to, yeah, in Indonesia, I can help you.
Yeah, exactly, perfect. So we can have a project or something on this. So if, yeah, let's see what happens. For the moment, I'm focusing on my personal coaching and business coaching. But as time moves forward, I would love to spend more time, obviously, in Indonesia helping with this. And once we're out of the COVID situation, and yeah, to be able to help people understand the power of coaching in a way they maybe wouldn't get the chance to otherwise. So.
So I saw you like cooking too. That is your hobby?
Yeah, I do like cooking. Yes.
Yeah. So you learn by yourself, or your mom teach you, or you?
I think a little bit of everything. So I, growing up, obviously in Bali, there's a lot to do with food, right? So really good food, Indonesian food. So a little bit growing up, I also went to boarding school. So we used to cook a lot too. I guess all throughout my life, I've been a lot around food and cooking from different types of meals from different countries. So I've just built on that passion. So I learned from different people, from my mom, from other people's moms, from my friends, and also from cookbooks and experimenting myself as well.
Yeah, nice.
you cook as well?
Yeah, but not really much. Just simple, not complicated.
Nothing wrong with simple.
Okay, Ruby, thank you very much. This is good conversation, and your explanation is really good. Thank you for your time, and good luck for your coaching.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Ruby.
Thank you.
Have a nice day. It's your sunshine smile.